Thinks Media.
Mike Thinks News for the week of February 21st. You know, I thought it was cool, but it turns out it's gonna make you blind? Hang on tight. Mike Thinks News is coming right at you. I'm your host, Mike James. Hey, welcome to the show. Really appreciate each and every one of you. And hey, you know, it's been a great week here. The house is a little harder to get around right now. Those of you that have listened to the show for a while may have an inkling as to why it's a little more difficult to navigate your way down the hallway and through the living room and den. Yeah, I'm tripping over Samoas. And tagalongs, and some new thing called berry something or other. That's right, it's Girl Scout cookie time, and my house is once again a cookie warehouse. Now, hey, don't get me wrong, this would be a great thing if they were my cookies, but they're not. These are cookies other people have paid for. So basically, it's a case of you can look and you can touch, as in haul them in and out of the house, but you can't eat them. Not exactly the perfect situation, in my opinion, but hey, congratulations to everyone who has ordered their Girl Scout cookies. They should be arriving any day now, so you guys, all your local Girl Scout troops are probably getting their cookies, unless you're still suffering inclement weather. Now, I think everything's pretty let up on the weather front, right? It's calmed down. You can now move around in the Northeast again. It was crazy, wasn't it? I mean, I know I was complaining about the weather down here being cold, but man... Some of the listeners have just been snowed in. I mean, thank goodness for the internet, because you know how many I Love Lucy reruns can you watch if you don't have cable? And there are places up north that got just huge piles of snow. But that's okay. So hey, welcome to the show. Really appreciate everybody here, and we've got some great news for you this week, and maybe some news that isn't quite so happy, enticing. I don't know what you want to call it. before we get to that, of course, I do have to take just a moment to talk about our sponsor here at Mike Thinks News, and that's GoToMeeting. So picture this. You're on the phone with a client or a colleague, and you're trying to explain something visual, a PowerPoint or a website or something, but it's frustrating. They can't see what you're talking about. Good news. You can invite them to use an online meeting through GoToMeeting. That way, they can see your computer desktop right on their computer screens, so you can show them what you're talking about. You know, I've used GoToMeeting. I love it. It is amazing just how much more impactful and easier to understand everything is when you can actually show people exactly what you're talking about. You know, if you haven't used GoToMeeting, you really need to give it a try. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast for a free 30-day trial. And now... First story this week. This has been all over the news. It is even grabbing headlines in some of the, you know, their popular news channels, you know, like CNN and Fox News and that kind of thing. Can you believe that a school district in Pennsylvania was actually spying on people using the webcams in the laptops they had given children? You know what was going on here is the school district gave laptops to all its high school students in both its high schools. And, of course, the laptop was there for the schoolwork and stuff. And, you know, students had to sign some paperwork and everything when they got the laptop. And the laptop has a webcam. Well, apparently, 40 or 50 times over the past year or so, the school has remotely turned on these webcams. And one student, not too happy about that privacy invasion, and is suing them. And you know, when you think about the implications of turning on a webcam, unbeknownst to the person using the computer, there's a lot of scary things. These are high school students, for goodness sakes. Okay, so let's get a little more into the meat and potatoes of this. Now, this all came to light because one student had been called into the principal's office and basically, I don't want to use the word accused, but I guess this is the only way. It must be. I call it an accusation. What happened is a student named Blake Robbins, he's 18, so they've released his name, was called into the principal's office and accused of selling drugs. Now, whether he did or did not is completely immaterial to this story, although according to all the evidence, it appears he didn't. The issue is the evidence that the school was using, the evidence that Vice Principal Lindy Matsko was using, was a picture of Mr. Robbins holding up a bag of what she believed to be pills. Problem is, this picture was taken in his bedroom with the computer's web camera, which the school had activated remotely without his knowledge. And nowhere in any of the disclosures that these students signed about these laptops was there any provisions for the remote activation of that webcam. Now, the school district is claiming that the idea of remotely activating the webcams is a rare thing that only a couple people have access to, and they have only done it like 50 or 60 times. What? 50 or 60 times in the past couple of years? Yes, 50 or 60 times in the past couple of years, and they claim it's a tool used to recover laptops that have been lost or stolen, and that they've recovered several laptops, you know, a dozen or so, two dozen, over the past couple of years using this webcam. That's all fine and dandy, but you know what? No. I'm afraid not. You're giving these things to kids. And keep in mind, this guy happens to be 18. A lot of these kids aren't. And even if they are, what if he happened to be getting dressed or undressed or any other, you know, state of, you know, doing something else besides holding up a bag of what he claimed were just his favorite candies, some kind of like a Good and Plenty candy. I forget what they called it. Mike and Ike's. Can you believe that, it is completely wrong to turn on the webcam without someone knowing about it. And according to everything here, no one had reported this laptop as being stolen. So this whole, we only do it when the laptop's stolen or missing. So how did they turn this one on? It was in his bedroom. I'm pretty sure he knew it wasn't stolen. Now, they may have had some ulterior motive. Maybe someone had told them that he was doing something wrong. And this one picture that we know they took, how many more did they take to get that one of him holding up a bag of candy? Yeah. The FBI is looking into this. This is not going to go well for the school district or anyone in a place of power. And I just cannot believe, first of all, that they would be just so stupid to think this was a good idea, but then even more stupid to come out and tell the kid, hey, we saw the picture of you in your bedroom. Hello? Duh. Tell me what you think about this one. I mean, you know, I would be absolutely livid, and whoever's responsible for this, they need to just, I mean, this is unbelievable. You cannot spy on people like this. Tell me what you think. Mike thinks at gmail.com is our email address here. And of course, if you want to leave me a voice message, you can give me a call on the voicemail hotline. That's 347-BUG. Mike, that's the most fun number in podcasting. If you're if you don't like doing the letters things, it's 347-284-6453. But 347-BUG, Mike, you're not going to forget it, right? So let's go ahead and let's move on. I do have a voicemail here. Let's play this voicemail.
Mike, it's Kelly. It's not cold in Florida. That's not cold. I'm here in New Jersey, and we've got snow up to my friggin' feet. I want to know where Al Gore is. Can he come here and shovel this crap out of my driveway? All right, Mike. See ya.
All right, Kelly. So, Yeah, thanks. Haven't heard from you in a very long time, Kelly. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. Kelly is absolutely correct. It is certainly a whole different world up there in the Northeast, isn't it? And Al Gore, you know, with all the recent climate stuff going on and Climate Gate, where it's been shown that a lot of people knew that a lot of the global warming stuff was complete bunk, and that while there may be some climate change, all the studies seem to be crumbling at our feet. Now, it's still up in the air. I am not one to come down hard on one side or the other. Global warming is a lie. But I will tell you that right now, it certainly isn't looking very good, is it? So thanks for the voicemail, Kelly. And dig yourself out, and I hope you have a four-wheel drive. Now, let's move on to a little more, I guess we'll call this, unusual news. All right, now we're gonna put this in the unusual news category, although to be completely honest, this doesn't sound like it's an unusual thing. The Apple iTunes Store, you know, there's been a lot of flack coming about. It's been ramping up quite a bit over the past couple of months about how Apple will just block things from the iTunes Store, like that guy who referenced coming in and doing very well in a Google Android competition with one of his applications. And they said, oh, you can't mention that in your thing. That's illegal. So he had to take out the reference to Google or Android or something. I guess they don't want you to know that there are other phones out there you could buy besides the iPhone. But the latest flap is coming about them taking off applications that have any kind of skin showing, any pictures with skin showing. And we're not talking about X-rated applications here. We're talking about applications with men with their shirts off, or women with what they consider excessive cleavage showing. In fact, Apple has decided apparently to remove all applications from the App Store that have any overt sexual nature to them. Now, one of the problems here is that Apple's stance on, and keep in mind, we're not talking about sexually explicit material. We're just talking about maybe sexually suggestive material or material that, might show like a woman in a teabag bikini or something. Apple's stance on this stuff has kind of waffled back and forth. And you just gotta wonder. I mean, the iPhone is internet capable, right? Good thing the internet is completely free of any kind of inappropriate content, isn't it? but honestly, Apple can do whatever they want in their App Store. And that is one of the problems with having that locked-in system. Now, some of you may be thinking, hey, great, I can give my 14-year-old an iPhone and not worry, because after all, the internet is completely safe. But I gotta tell you, Apple is gonna burn their bridges one time too many. And that insurmountable lead they appear to have right now could evaporate in moments when it becomes clear that there are other open platforms for developers to act upon and not have to worry about spending lots of time and money developing an app only to have it rejected by some, vague, unknown, deep, dark hole of an approval process that they got going on. So tell me what you think. Personally, hey, Apple can do what they want. I just think it's a really stupid move on their part. Now, let's move on to a little technology news. All right, now you guys have, and ladies, have, I do that a lot. Forgive me, ladies. You know that we've been hearing a lot about 3D TV, especially after the latest CES, and everything is just 3D, 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 right? And all the movies are coming out in 3D now, and now they're trying to push the 3D TVs on us. Well, there is something that has kind of taken hold over the past couple weeks. It started out as just a mention on a show called Biteside. Now, it's a show produced in, I believe it's Australia, because everybody has an Australian kind of accent. And let's see. And yeah, it is Australia, as a matter of fact. And this show has actually had someone on it that made a very, startling statement, and I want to play that for you right now.
Can I have my rant about the beginning now?
Please.
Okay.
Please. So, I'll put it back.
For all of you who are planning to buy a 3D television, for God's sake, don't. Let me explain why. I spent the 1990s, first part of the 1990s, developing head-mounted displays. I was developing a head-mounted display for Sega Corporation. I was doing it through my own independent company. It was going to plug into the Genesis, which I think was called, what was it, the Mega Drive? Mega Drive here in Australia. It's going to plug right in, you'd pop it in, and it'd be great. We got the system all designed, and we sent it off for testing, SRI, very, very high-end research labs. And they came back and said this, all right, here's the thing. Now, you all, I think probably everyone in this room went to see Avatar, yes? Maybe twice, a few times. All right, so here's the thing. You pop the glasses on. Now, your brain has about 10 different clues which it uses to detect depth. When you're in the theater, you're only getting one clue, which is parallax. So what happens is while you're in the theater, your brain is ignoring all of the other depth cues, throwing the other nine away, and just training on the one. This produces a situation which is known technically as binocular dysphoria. All right? Now, what will happen is you'll leave the theater and your perception, your depth perception, will be screwed up. It'll snap back to normal. It'll take different time because people are on a bell curve. Some will snap back immediately. Some will snap back in an hour, so on and so forth. All right. But it'll take different time for different amounts of people.
Whoa. Now, you probably didn't recognize his voice. He's not someone you hear a lot of. His name is Mark Pesce. He's one of the pioneers in the virtual reality revolution that occurred, back there, 20 years ago now. He's also the co-inventor of VRML. And he's telling you, whatever you do, don't buy a 3D TV. It'll destroy your vision. What he's talking about, of course, binocular dysphoria, is not a well-documented scientific thing. And when I say that, I mean, we all know it exists, but there is a lot of argument over exactly how bad it is and what the result is. But his statements there are fairly accurate from all the research I have done. I did a little research into looking into this, and I found an article from back in 2003 about using virtual reality for the treatment of phobias. And what they did is they would have people that had a fear of heights or airplanes, and they'd use one of those virtual reality helmets to make them feel like they were really up high or in an airplane or something. And it was very successful in helping people overcome these phobias. However, they did find that it had an impact on people's depth perception. It really damaged their depth perception, at least in the short term. When you use these virtual reality headsets, which is just basically a 3D headset, for a while afterwards, you're not real good at gauging 3D space. And now what they're talking about is parallax, which is what the two eyes see that is different, versus the other cues that you see. Some of the cues that are missing when you look in a movie that you're well aware of as a person, but probably as far as subconsciously. One of them is when something's farther away, it's not as clear. It is, there's haze and things in the atmosphere. You know, air is pretty clear, but it's not 100% clear. That's why when you look at something way far off in the distance, it looks really fuzzy. It's a little hazier. It's not as clear. There may be some heat waves distorting the image a little bit. Also, is it getting bigger or smaller in relation to the other objects around it? And a lot of these clues are kind of missing in a 3D movie. Some of them are there to some extent, but they're not consistent, and it's all up to the director's interpretation on how to engage them. The real question is, are any of you guys driving home from the movie theater? Because for God's sakes, don't, okay? Apparently, you're dangerous. We're going to have to come up with a new thing. We know DUI is bad. Now it's going to be DAM, driving after movie. And it's what can you, you know, and what he goes on to say, and I'm going to link up to this video over at the website. Don't forget the website, thinksmedia.com. We'll go ahead and we'll link up to the video. It'll be on the right-hand side of the page where you can see the video is about an hour long, and it goes over some other topics. This particular topic's at about the 44-minute mark. Just an amazing thing to think about that, you know, you see in a movie, he says, that's okay. You do it once every week or two, you know, no big deal. But imagine putting this thing in your living room and staring at it 4, 5, 6 hours a day, or your kids staring at it 4, 5, 6 hours a day. And of course, the real problem is that as stated and as we all know is true, we're all different. Some people are going to snap out of it very quickly. Others, it's going to take some time. And so they're going to have some very poor depth perception and make some bad decisions over the next 20, 30, 40 minutes. Now, the other thing that they talk about when looking into this when I was doing the research is that when you learn to use these fake 3D cues, and if you become very comfortable with doing that, what can happen is in a crisis situation when you have to make that snap judgment, your brain may become confused as to which 3D model it should use to judge what's going on. You know, something happens, you're on the highway, and all of a sudden something happens, your brain might just instinctively snap into the, oh, I'm watching a movie 3D version, which wouldn't be the most effective because you're not using all of your 3D cues and your depth perception, and you may not make the right move with your vehicle. So, I'm going to stop short of saying you could possibly die because of this, but it really sounds like an overexposure to this fakey 3D could be something worth a lot more research. You know, it's just stunning to think that he worked on a 3D system for Sega and it actually got axed. Not because, like the Virtual Boy, it gave everybody a headache, but because they found there were problems with the technology causing customers issues. I'd love to hear what you have to say about that. Give me a call, 347-BUG-MIKE. And before we move on to the last part of the show, let's hear from another voicemail here. I believe we got it right here.
Mike, good evening.
I've been listening
to your podcast, riding home from Laredo tonight. And
this is Lester, the Amish trucker.
I said, wait a minute. You know, I'm out here on the highway, Interstate 10, and I'm looking at all these yellow lines. Come on, are we going to have to repaint all the highways soon? But and not all, you know. What about the white line in the middle? I'm starting to feel, you know, just wait a minute. What's going on here? And anyway, that's so much the pity. I can't even believe they're doing that in Atlanta. And then your comments on boredom. I really enjoyed that. I didn't know that, but that's very interesting. And I have for years always looked for work or done something that I really enjoyed. You know, if I was bored doing what I'm doing right now, I wouldn't do it. I'd go find something else I'd like to do. It's just not worth living a life doing something boring. And I just ain't going to do it. I really enjoy what I'm doing. And if it ever gets boring, I'm going to do something that I really like. And one of the things that keeps it from getting boring sometimes on these long road homes late in the evening like tonight, listen to podcasts like Mike Banks or some of the other ones I download.
There are other podcasts?
Thanks a lot for what you do. I really enjoyed it. You have a good night or a good week, whatever this is. I don't know where we're at. And I'll talk to you later. Oh, by the way, if I didn't identify myself, this is the Amish trucker trucking across Texas tonight in my little bitty, bitty, bitty truck here. Hey, see ya.
All right. Thanks so much, Lester. Yeah, we recognize your voice. He's been a loyal listener to the show for quite a while. And he was referring, of course, back to last week's show where, as far as the lines go, where they had to rename a subway because apparently calling the, you had the red line and the green line and the blue line, but apparently the yellow line is racially insensitive. And if you listen to my last week's show, you'll understand. And as far as boredom goes, of course, we told you, now we know 3D TV is going to go make you go blind, but boredom will kill you. So if you have a choice between being bored or watching 3D TV, I guess the choice is watch 3D TV, right? Because being bored is actually deadly. I don't know why I'm laughing. That's not funny, but it is. So, hey, thank you so much for the voicemail. And before I let everyone go, let's go ahead and let's talk about this week in history. Now, this week in history, we had a couple big things happen. First of all, way back In 1066, Westminster Abbey opened. Can you believe 1066? That's a long time. It happened this week in history. 1868. This week in history, the first parade in the United States that included floats. And according to my research, it was the Mardi Gras parade in Mobile, Alabama. First parade in the United States to have floats. I guess up until that point, they just had horses and bands. No mention of balloons. So, and this week in history, in 1920, the first artificial rabbit was used at a dog track. Now, that's if you've never gone to a dog track. We have those here in Florida. I've been a couple times many, many years ago. And they have this little artificial rabbit. It's a little rabbit on a stick that sticks out in the track, and it whizzes along, and the dogs apparently chase the rabbit. That's what gets them to run. I don't know. I guess greyhounds like chasing rabbits. And finally, in 1972, this week in history, the Beetle overtook the Model T as the number one selling vehicle of all time, as number 15,007,034 came off of the assembly line. It passed the Model T. Can you believe the Model T held that record until 1972? Well, that's all the time we have for news today. I really appreciate you joining me. Don't forget, MikeThinks@gmail.com, or you can call that voicemail hotline, 347-284-6453. Now, I appreciate each and every one of you listening to the show. And until next time, I hope everyone has a good one.